Okay, we're picking up six lines from the bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. Our learning is once again sponsored. Le'ilu Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov, the Neshama Shana V'Liyah. So the Gemara is continuing discussion of the idea of a Klalu Prat. So this is one of the Yod Gimel Midos. Hopefully we say it every day in davening. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Kabbalah is a very beginning to say these in Yanim before davening. So the Rabbi Shmuel, we say klal uprat uklal. So we're going to get a little bit more of understanding. The Gemara is going to bring different examples of uklal uprat uklal. So says the Gemara, now quoting the Braisa. The Braisa said, Amar mar, I mahaprat mefurash pregamar. So now we're going to be a little chazara. So someone would be able to argue and say that just like when it comes to the prat, the thing that was, we were coming to specify is specifically talking about something which is a fruit, which is a pregamar of the grape, af kol pregamar, so too, only if it's a finished fruit, would it be included in the isra of a nazir. Amar, so you could respond to that argument by saying, im kain, mahiniach hakosu b'mashmo shaloi amloi. So what has the Torah told you in its meaning that it not stated explicitly? Anavim lachem v'yaveshim. You're going to tell me that it's talking about not having fresh or dried grapes. Haksive, they're written explicitly. Yain v'chometz. Yain v'chometz, wine and vinegar. Haksive, that's also written explicitly. So what would be the Torah coming to tell you? Ha'in lecha ela adun b'lashon achron ela k'lashon rishon. So therefore, we can't make the argument that the first suggestion rather as the second, which is going to tell us that when it comes to the prat, to the specification, that's specifically talking about pre-gummer, which is a fully finished fruit, but only according to the first suggestion, which is understanding that it's a fruit. And since we, at the end of the day, we're going to be including everything that's going to be similar to the prat, ma talmud lomar mechartzon im vadzog. So then what would the Torah be telling you when it says from seeds to skin of the grape is aser for a nazir? Lomar lecha, komakom shatamote prat uklal, to tell you that whenever you see a prat, so something being specified and then followed by a klal, which is a more general rule, you're not allowed to say the halachas are going to be similar to the specification until an asher klal musaf ala prat. The generalization is becoming just an added to these, to the thing that's a specific point. Turning on to lamed hevad aleph, kederech shaprat lecha benazir, that the way it does it to make it a klal prat to klal mechartzone vadzag. To make it a klal prat to klal, then you could have the rules that it has to be domed to the it has to be similar to the specification. That halacha is only able to be said if it's a klal uprat uklal. So now the Gemara has a question on this. Ule Rebbe Lazar, again, we're on Lamed Hamad Alf. Now, Rebbe Lazar ben Azaria, the Kamukim, Lahaik, Mechartzone Vadag, Lamar She'enu Chayav, Achel Chabez Charnan Zamazag. So according to Rebbe Lazar ben Azaria, who says that from Chartzane Vadzag, from the seeds into the skin, tells us that a Nazir is not Chayav for eating the seeds of the skin unless he eats at least two seeds and a skin. Prataminales, from where does he learn that you need to do a klal prata klal? So the Gemara is asking, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, how is it going to fit with the shita of the Rabbanan that the klal prata klal has to, that you need to have the prat at the end of the day? So, to have the klal prat, I'm sorry, about the klal at the end of the day, go back to the klal. So the Gemara says, Savar la Rabbi Elazar darish miyat riba. So the Gemara's first suggestion is that maybe in a Hanami, he doesn't agree with the majority shita of the Rabbanan. Rather, he is going to hold like the shita of Rabbi Elazar, who in general is going to learn everything from riba yomiyut. So therefore, when you learn everything from riba yomiyut, so then you can learn over here that if you have mechartzone vadzag, is going to tell you, is not needed for that, you don't need it to teach you that halacha. Therefore, it's available for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to teach you the halacha that a nazir is not going to be chayav for eating the seeds and the skin, unless he has at least two seeds and one skin, as we mentioned, based on the Mishnah. So that's the first suggestion. That's the most pashut understanding. L'chora, he rejects the shita of the standard approach of learning out the method of klal uprat uklal. As we mentioned already before, actually, the Gemara over here seems to be a problem. Although we shouldn't have bothered by that. But generally, the main difference between a klal uprat uklal and a riboy umiut, or if you have riboy umiut or riboy, so is that generally that when you have klal uprat uklal, it's much more limiting. A klal uprat uklal tells you it can only be similar to the specification, which is obviously a very limited halacha. Only if it's similar to the specification will that now be included in the rule. Whatever halacha we're going to see, a few examples brought on today's daf, but that's the general rule. As opposed to riboy miyut to riboy is something which was included everything, and it has this one exclusion, so only the exclusion is going to be not in the halacha, and everything of riboy, everything else is back into the standard of the riboy. So it's much more inclusive halacha. A lot more things would be included if you learn the general mahalach of riboy miyot to riboy. So there is big nafkaminas for general understanding, and here also there'd be a nafkamina. Now the Gemara says v'ibayis ema kerabanan, or you could have said that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who would disagree with Rabbi Elazar, and so that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he would agree with the Rabbanan, and he would tell us that the lashon of mecharton of adzag is teaching us the halacha as well to that of a klal prat to klal. So then he doesn't disagree, and he doesn't learn riboy umiyot. These are the number of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because they're going to tell you that the whole reason mecharton of adzag is to teach us, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah told us that the nazir is not going to be chayav for eating the seeds unless he has two seeds and the skin. So then, lichtev rachman alai mecharton of adzag gabe prate. So then, the Torah should have told us that the lashon of the seeds and the skin should have been in the earlier part of the specification. So why did the Torah go out of its way to tell you that it's going to be after the generalization? To tell you that it's generally coming to teach you that it's coming to that there's another halacha that we can learn from over here. So since we were able to learn the both dinim, since the Torah doesn't tell that the Torah could have easily just told us among the other things that appear before the klal, before everything that was generalized, and since the Torah did not, it's clearly it's mukhrach, it's clear that this is something which is a different statement, and according to that, we're assuming that this is just a completion of the sentence. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah can learn two things from it, because it's really two ribuyim, it's two different things that we're able to learn from this ribuy, because it's two different extra things in the pasuk. So Gemara says, "Ve'ema kulei lahai uda." So, but maybe say that it's only coming to teach you a klal pata klal. How could he tell you his halacha also? Maybe he's only teaching you one chiddush. So the Gemara says no, because im kain, if that's really what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was coming to say, then lichtav o shnei chartanim o shnei zagim. The Torah should have said two seeds and two skins, both in the plural, or chartan vezag, or a seed and skin, both in the lashon of yachid, which is going to be singular. Why does it say the ma'ayachos akazar achmanim mechartanim in the plural, and not zag is in only the skin, which is only one? So why would it do that? Says as a Gemara, Shmamina lemidrash bei klal uprat, to teach you from here that we're learning a klal uprat, ve'ikanami lemidrash bei ad shilchol shnei chartanim vizog, and also to tell you that until he eats at least two seeds and a skin. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar didarish mir to riba. So then, prat klal uprat minale. So where is he going to learn that prat klal? So normally, that unuli minale is just like, where does he learn this out? So over here, people, the Rishonim explain that lechora that over here that where does he learn that the klal prat the klal that he's going to come to reject it over here? That's the some explain that way. The Re in Tosfos quoted by Tosfos over here, he explains that the Gemara is learning from Rabbi Elazar that regards to Nazi that he has to learn specifically here. He's learning Ribei Miyot, but everywhere else he's going to learn klal prat the klal. So then, so the Gemara is lechora assuming. So then, why Rabbi Elazar not learn over here that we should also be saying this halacha? So the Gemara, that's what the Gemara is wondering right now. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abahu, where can he learn it out? Nafkele mehai kra, from the Pasuk, Kiitin ish es ra'il chamor. So the Pasuk is talking about, we'll read the whole Pasuk inside, Kiitin ish el ra'il chamor, or shor, or sev, v'chol b'mal, ishmor, or meis, nishba, ein ro'eh. We just had this Pasuk mishpatim, that if a person is going to give his friend a donkey or an ox, or a sheep, any animal to watch, it dies under him, so no one sees it. So the Gemara, over the Pasuk over there is talking about a shomer sachar, and he's going to have a halacha that he has to swear. So the Gemara is going to learn. So we learn over there. So that's Kitan Israel Chamor Oseh Oseh. So it's specifying certain things. It's not telling you give him anything to watch. It just says, as we mentioned, it has to be something which is similar to a donkey, an ox, or a sheep, those things. V'chol behema, but then it goes back and says any animal. L'chora is including any type of animal. Lishmor is also a lashon, which is a mute. Because the lashon of v'chol behema is going all animals, even a chay or any animal, a behema, a chay, anything. So when it just says lishmor, that's coming to limit, not any like crazy wild animal. If it gives him a bear or a lion or something crazy to watch, that lechora would not be included. Prat to call a prat, yatadan ela keina prat. You can only learn that it's keina prat. So we're learning from over here that the what they have in common is that the case over here is it's a davar metaltel v'gufa mamon. That it's something which has intrinsic monetary value and it's davar metaltel. It has to be something which is also a movable property. So all of the things those are going to be something which is similar to the prat, to the specification. And the Gemara learns over there that's actually the source. This is the source in Kol Tarkula. Whenever we learn out in Shas, ein ishbayin al karkos, so you don't make a shvua at least directly. The Gilgal Shuah we do learn, and Zokikin, those things we do. But Be'etzem, that you're not allowed to, if I'm Modim Mikzas on a Karka, so the Lach is, right, Modim Mikzas is a Dinda Raisa that I have to swear. But if you're Modim Mikzas on Karka, then the Lach is, you don't have to swear. So where do we learn out from this Drasha, that it's a Klal or Prat to Klal, it's only Ke'ena Prat, and Karka is not similar to Ke'ena Prat, because Karka is not, is Davar Metalta. You cannot move Karka. That's the whole reason that Karka is always Shayach to Shibud, the Gemara says, because it never goes anywhere. It's Kaiva Kaim. It's always going to be standing there. Even if the property burns down, the actual land, the physical land is always there. That's why there's always a lien on property. So anyway, so we see from over here that this is the concept, this is where we learn Davar to Klal or Prat to Klal. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar Nafka Me'akar, no. Why do you have to assume that Rebbe Lazar is using it from there? Maybe he's learning it from the following pasuk. So let's just read this whole pasuk. If the person is bringing from his flock a korban, whether it's from sheep or from goat, it's going to be an ola. It should be something which is tamim. It's something which doesn't have a blemish on it. So what do we learn from over here? So ve'im min hatzon. So im min is a lashon of a specification. Only it's going to be specific, because it could have just said im hatzon min korban. What does the lashon mean? So the lashon of min is clearly a restricting word. Hatzon is then coming klal, is kind of be generalizing that it's all of the flock. So then it goes back to say kvasim ve'izim chazar prat. It has to be sheep or goats, which is back to being similar to the specification. Pral ukrat upral. So from here we learn a specification followed by a generalization, and the lach is iya tadan ela keina prat. You can only learn something which is similar to the keina prat. So what's the keina prat over here? So the mefarish on the side of the argument over here, he says, so we learn from over here, if anything was done as an avera, that would not be similar to the specification. Because that would be something which roi to bring this veach, as the mefarish gives an example, as if you're choresh b'shor v'chamor, or you're choresh bo b'shabes, those different things. Or if you do, if a person has a bia with behema, that the animal comes after, so that also would be included in something which is not allowed to be brought as a korban. So now the Gemara says, Amar Leir of Yudah Mediskala Rava Velelef Minadinkra. Why didn't you learn it from the following pasuk? Let's read the whole pasuk again inside. Adam Kiakir Mekam Korban Hashem Minavevan Akarman Atzon Takrivas Korban Chem. When you bring a korban, so from animals, from cattle, from flock, you should bring your korban. So the Chora, this is also an example of Pradu Kala Pralva. So why are you coming? Why are you running to the pasuk later in Vayikra, Parag Gimel? This pasuk is the very, very beginning of Vayikra. The second pasuk in Parshas after Vayikra, right? Then Adam Kiakriv is the very second pasuk. So why are you running to the later parak? So the Gemara says, min is prat. So again, because it says, min abehema. It could have just said, mebehema. Why is it min abehema? So that's min is prat. Habehema, but it's going to tell you generalization of, from any animal. So then, or at least domesticated animal. So, bakar vetzon, chazar prat. Then it says, cattle in your flock. So, the min abakar min atzon is talking about your cattle in your flock. So that's again being a prat. Pral katu prat, yatadan elakina prat. You can only learn something which is similar to that of the specification. So we learned from over here that only some animals are going to be a shayach. And so we learn over here, not a chaya, or something which is a wild animal, like a deer, which is kosher, but you cannot use it for a korban. So that's what we're learning from over here. So those things are going to be, that's going to be kosher. It's going to include, though, let's say, like if you have a shor bar, a wild ox, so then that is going to be kosher. However, we're going to exclude as we mentioned, like something which be'etzim is a problem, like a deer, which is considered a chaya. So the Gemara says, "Amar le, minai leik lamash b'mina." Rav answers, "No, I don't learn it from the earlier psukim that you wanted to taina in Vayikra, because mehasam havi amina behema. Because if I learn it from Rav Elazar's halacha, I would say that the animal is turning on to next amud is chaya b'chal behema. So the word behema is including all animals, even wild animals. So therefore, if the Torah just told you from a behema and also from the chayos, then I wouldn't be able to learn this halacha b'chlal. So that's why we had to mention it. So he says, "Amar lei chaya b'chlal behema." Is it really true that animals are all considered in the that wild animals are considered in the term of behema of general standard animals? Haksiv bakar v'tzon. The pasuk says cattle and flock. So the terms used in the second the second prat from bakar minatzon is clearly do not cover wild animals. So we should learn that mina behema is referring to only domestic species and not to wild animals. So therefore when it said mina behema, so it should be a term which is used once the Torah is telling us that we could be megala what it means. So the avele prad l'klal. So therefore, we learn that it is an example of something which is specific and a generalization. V'yatadah nela keina prat. And since it's followed by another specification, you cannot learn anything other than what is similar to the specification. And says the Gemara, "Iminala and dahachiu." Where do we learn that this is the halacha? Where do we see that that should be the case? Desanya, because we learn from the pasuk the following. Meaning, where do we learn that? Where is the classic example of a case where we have kalapat as including everything similar to the prat? Desanya from a different source now, another source. I think it's the third or fourth source we already have a kalapat the klal. Fourth, if you can't know, we should get. This is talking about Meitzer Sheni. So the lacha is a Meitzer Sheni, right? We have years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the Shemitah cycle. So on years 3 and 6, you give Truma Gedola. Let's just go back. I always chazra. So let's just go through this again. A person has 100. He has 100 fruits. He has 100 pomegranates. So now he takes off 2, right, as Truma. That's true. It's called Truma Gedola. It's called Gedola because we're going to see there's another Truma you give to the Kohen. And you take off 2% and give it to the Kohen. Now you're left with 98 pomegranates. So then what do you do? So 9.8, that's called Maaser Rishon. That's given to the Levi. You give those 9.8. We'll just round it up to 10, make it easier. So now we're left with 88 pomegranates. So now we're not done yet. Then there's Maaser Sheni. It's called the second Maaser. You have to take Nacha, 10%, 8.8 of those pomegranates, and it depends on the year. So years 3 and 6 of the Shemitah cycle, what do? You give those to the poor people. That's what you give to the poor people, and that's given to them. However, on years 1, 2, 4, and 5, you have a chiyuv to bring those to the Beis HaMikdash, not the Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim. Lifnei, it's called Lifnei Hashem. Anywhere in Yerushalayim is called Lifnei Hashem. We learn that halacha. Anywhere within the walls of the old city, of common misconception, by the way, is that the when you go to Migdal David, that has nothing to do with the old city of Yerushalayim that was built 500 years ago by the Turks. The old city of Yerushalayim, actually where I used to be in yeshiva, there's mamash right there. I felt like every day I was nichnas Yerushalayim. It was very cool. They have by the chur, if you go into the rova over there, they have the time of Chizkiya Melech. They have from Bayis Rishon, they discovered the wall. I think when the Jordanians blew up a lot of things, so they actually found that wall over there. And that wall was from the time of Bayis Rishon. Just a fascinating thing, by the way, is that they found tons of arrows from all different wars and different things, but they didn't find one arrow from the time period of Chizkiya HaMelech, attesting to the Nevuah. Not that we need any proofs that this was the MS, but it's just very nice when you do hear these things, is that the Navi told Yeshayahu told Chizkiya HaMelech that the Ashur is not going to even shoot one arrow at you because he surrounded them, and Chizkiya was terrified. And then there was a massive plague. They ran away, and then there was no one there. That was the story of the Mitzrayim. We read it. I think the Rila Haftorah on Pesach coming up. Anyway, so that is the old city of Yerushalayim. That from there in is actually the halach. That's the halachic old city of Yerushalayim. And from there you can eat your Maaser Sheni. And that goes around all the way to anywhere within that, obviously towards the Harabayas, getting closer to the Harabayas. And then also what was included, and people don't realize this, that at the time of Tanakh, most people were living what we call Ir David, or Silwan. Ir David, that area is where in the time of Bayis Rishon, that's where most people lived. Only later, during the later period of Bayis Rishon, the end of Bayis Rishon, and then towards Bayis Sheni, did people start living in what we call the upper part of Yerushalayim, what we call the old city, Bizman Hazeh, is not where most people were living in the time of Tanakh. David HaMelech is Ir David for a reason. That's where they assume that is that all indication is that that's where it made it clear from the Tanakh. You see the stories. It's very amazing, actually, to go visit. Highly recommended. If anyone's coming to Eretz Yisrael, to come visit the Ir David tunnels, because those tunnels are mamish the story of Tanakh, where who could conquer the water thing, the cistern over there, the whole different things. They show that the psukim mamish come alive when you see. They found it's unbelievable. They found a pa'amon from the time of Bayis Rishon. Right, we have pa'amon v'zav, pa'amon v'zav. This week's parsha, the bell of the Kohen Gadol. They found it there. Unbelievable. They found the bell, the circle thing that the Kohen Gadol used to wear underneath. At the very bottom of his garment. They actually found one of those near David. Okay, we got a little bit of a sidetracked over here, but that is that's the halacha. You bring it to you. You have to bring it to your shalayim. So what do you? This is talking about. Now again, a guy is a farmer. So he doesn't have 98 fruits, he has thousands of fruits. So you're going to make him bring 50,000 fruits that he has as a Maaser Sheni. The guy does very well. So yeah, 50,000 is a lot back then even. Let's assume he has 1,500 fruits as Maaser. So you made, right, he had 15,000. So he had 1,500 fruits to bring as Maaser Sheni. So the halacha is, the Torah tells you, you're allowed to be poded on to money. So that money, then you have to add a fifth of the value, and then you bring it, which is really a fourth, not for now, already getting too much. So you have to add a fifth into the money, so you evaluate how much it's worth. Let's just assume, make it easier, it's a dollar each one, 1,500, so you have to add 25% to that 1,500, and then you bring that money, monetary value to
Yerushalayim. So what am I buying in Yerushalayim? So that's the question. So the pasuk tells you, "V'nasata kesa b'chol asher tasa nafshecha." Back to the Gemara now. The pasuk tells you should spend the ma'aser sheni money for anything that you want. So the Torah has made a klal, a generalization. So now, but then it says, no, not everything, but bakar vatzon v'yayin v'shechar prat. So only for something like cattle or flock or wine or aged wine, that's what could be included in what you bring in for ma'aser sheni. So that's only specifying. That's a klal uprat. And then it goes back to say v'chol asher teshalcha nashecha. So then it says whatever you want. So that obviously is going back to generalize. Anything that you want to eat, you're allowed to have. So we learn klal uprat to klal. Yatadan ela ke'ena prat. It has to be similar to the specification. What would that be? Ma prat mefuresh pri mepri v'gedule karka. It has to be something which is specifically foods that are fruit and also come from the ground. Those are cattle, flock, and wine. They come from the ground somewhat. So therefore, that's going to be included. And then af kol pri mepri v'gedule karka. So to anything purchased ma'aser sheni money has to be fruit and nourished from and come from the ground as the Rush points out. Bakar v'tzon. Miss Avrim Zemizev Yoldin, so they have more. That's pre-la-pre, animals. And Gdule Karka is that they grow from the ground. Those would be things that are included. So that's the halacha. So therefore, that would be included. You could have ofos that can be bought with Meister Cheney. However, what would it come to exclude? So the Rush of Erkot, the Dugim, you cannot buy fish. That would not be included. Water, salt, those things are not allowed to be bought with Meister Cheney money. So the Gemara says, Michti, Klal Prat Klal. So we learn over there that klal prat d'chlal k'ein prat d'anina. That we learn it has to be similar to the halacha of what was specified. Klal basra may ahanale. So what's the deal? What's the function of the final klal? Why do we need this? Why can't we just learn of the klal prat? So the Gemara says ahanale osve kol d'damile, because that's what it's coming to do. It's coming to include anything which is similar to the prat is now included. So that's how we learn klal prat d'dan yatadan ela k'ein prat. Is based on this that once it comes to generalize it, that would be the case over here. So v'su prat klal prat ke'ena prat daininan. So and also in the case of specification followed by when you have a something which was a klal. So then ke'ena prat daininan, we learn it's similar to the specification prat of basrai mayhanalei. So why do I need another prat? So the Gemara says ilah prat of basrai ava hamamina nasa klal mosef ala prat. I would have learned that the generalization is made only to add to the specifics over here. So, like in the case of a nazir, then I would have learned to the conclusion that the nazir is going to be usur even in things which are going to be like the alim or the shoots, those different things that we mentioned before. That's what that mistaken haven would have led me to. So the Gemara says umichte train klale prate. So when we have two generalizations with one specification in between, utrain prate klala, or two specifications with one generalization in between, kein prate daininan. So then we derive only things which are similar to the specification. My ika bene bene. So what's going to be the difference between if it's a klal uprat uklal or prat uklal uprat? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, ika, there is an afkamina. The ilu tartin klal uprat. So if you have a generalization with a specification in between, a klal uprat uklal, we know, ika prat de dame leafilu bechatzan marbina. So then even if it's only similar to one of the klalim, either the first or the third, so then it would be fine. But in the case where you have a prat, uklal prat, so then the halacha is, ika prat de dami mishnei tzadim marbinan. If there are a case that would be similar to both the prat on both the first and the third one are similar to the prat in the middle, then we can learn it out as this halacha of klal prat uklal. And if not, b'chad tzad lo marbinan. So there's only one way we would have this halacha. So says the Gemara, so michti prat uklal. So when, in cases we have a specification, then followed by a generalization, nasa klal mosif ala prat. So the halacha is that we have a generalization that's made an additional to the specification. V'yisrabe kol mile. And everything is going to be included. V'yit riba nami riba kol. So this is so then when the Torah then comes and limits and then does a riboy to include everything else, so then we learn it's coming to include everything. So the Gemara says, v'yisrabe kol mile, and everything is going to be included. Ma'ika bein miyat riba lepralukat. So what would be the difference between the two? If this is what we're trying to tine right now. So the Gemara says, ika d'ilu prat d'klal, when it comes to prat d'klal, when you're specifying in generalization, that method of learning, rabbinu nafilu alim v'lovin, that we would be able to include even leaves and the shoots. Umiyit v'riba, when it comes to riba milat, l'lovin in, we can learn that the shoots are included in the iser, however, alin, leaves would not be. This Gemara is very difficult for a few different reasons. The first over here is that mil riba, we just mentioned before in yesterday's daf, l'lam adal m'beiz, that according to Rabbi Lazar, who learns miyat v'riba, he says that both the alin and the lulavin and so the leaves and the shoots are aser. And here we're saying that only the lulavin are going to be, the lulavin are going to be aser, and but the alin would be mutter. So that's clearly not the meskan over here. So Tosos want to answer, maybe it's not chalik on each other, that there's a chilik between if the leaves are going to be rach or kasha, if they're soft or they're hardened. So if they're soft leaves, which are obviously more edible, so then that would be included in the Isser. However, for Mirari, boy, if these soft leaves that are Rav Lezer referring to, that's what he's saying, all of them are going to be Asur. And everyone would agree to it. There's no Machlokas. Fine, that's the first question. We just answered that point. But there's another Kasha, is that we just mentioned in the introduction that the whole point of Ribuy V'miut versus Klal Prat D'Klal, L'chora comes at the Nafkamina, that a Ribuy V'miut is a much more inclusive in what is part of the rule and what is not. As opposed to Klal Prat D'Klal, only when it's similar to the specification would it be included in your rule. Here, we're coming at L'chora with the opposite maskana over here, because the Gemara is telling us that when it comes to miut v'ribuy, only shoots but not leaves are going to be included, and therefore it's more restrictive than in Prat D'Klal, which it would include even leaves. So that's very problematic. All the Rishonim, a lot of them are bothered by Tosfos, and Rashba. Others Rishonim are bothered by Shittim Mekubekas. Everyone, this is a big topic that is discussed. We don't have time to get into this, but that's a question you should know. Is from the maskana, the seeming maskana of our Gemara here is a little problematic. Okay, so going back to, we'll just mention a few more lines here, and then we'll wrap up. Is that the Gemara tells us? Rabbi Kiva told us that that Heter is mitzaref leIsser. So the Gemara points out, Amar Rabbi Bo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. When it comes to every Isser in the Torah, ain't Heter mitzaref leIsser. So if, let's say, I have chalev, so I have half a kazayas of chalev, I cook it with half a piece of half a kazayas of kosher meat, so that's not called one kazayas of Isser. Rather, I've eaten half a kazayas of Isser. We're going to get to this more. There was a famous teacher being a tam, but not for now. We'll get to it tomorrow. So ain't Heter mitzaref leIsser chutz miIsseri nazir, except for nazir. So if a nazir has half a kazayas of grapes together, as we mentioned, with bread, so then that was a shittur. Bikiva told us that he is going to be chayev, he's going to be chayev malchus. And why should that be? Because there's a specific zeres hakas over here. Sharei amra torah mishras. The Torah tells you that it has to be a chomishras anavim lo yishta. Anything that is literally mishras, a good example, I don't know, infused with, let's say, grapes, is going to be part of the iser. So a nazir is going to be chayev anything which is tasting like these grapes or the wine. So if he dips his bread in the wine, even though the bread still has a majority of bread, still the whole thing is nefach liot, part of the iser, and that's why the person's going to be chayev, even though tachas, he's the only eating, and that was the second kiddush, that it's nidor kebetza, which is much smaller than a kazayas, but the fact that heter nefach liot iser is based on the xeris akosov that we're learning from over here. Okay, Be'ez Hashem will pick up with Ziri, who says another example, maybe heter on the nefach liot iser, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow's daf.